WebMD.com. It's your life, your health, it's your show. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, starring Dr. Michael Royson, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. I'm privileged this half hour to have Diane Zimbaroff, who's a licensed marriage and family therapist with clinical specialties in addiction recovery, stress-related illness, and codependency. She's the co-founder and director of training at the Wellness Institute in Seattle, I believe, one of the oldest and most respected providers of hypnotherapy certification and hypnosis training. Her husband, David Hartman, you are married, aren't you, Diane?
We are married, yes, we are.
Is a clinical social worker specializing in trauma resolution and the use of altered states of consciousness for healing and spiritual growth. For 20 years, he has also trained mental health professionals in heart-centered hypnotherapy throughout the United States, Kuwait, Taiwan, Mexico, South Africa, and Denmark. He is the co-founder of the Wellness Institute, and they both live in the state of Washington. The book is called Overcoming Shock, Diane. So tell me, one, thank you for coming on the show, and two, tell me, how many people have shock in their life?
Well, that's interesting because most people have shock in their lives at one time or another. Shock is really a PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of people have stress, but it becomes a disorder or it becomes shock when it continues. You know, so maybe like...
When you mean continues, it continues to affect them, or when the cause of it continues, or both?
Right. Well, really both. You know, we have it... A lot of people actually have it from birth, and that's a whole big topic. But, you know, if there was a stressful birth for the child, for the baby, or the mother, that can cause stress, and then that can turn into shock. Especially when it continues, so maybe a little bit later, the child is left at home with a babysitter who doesn't treat it very nicely, or a lot of different things can happen, you know, or the parent loses a job, or gets an illness, or there's an accident in the family, and those kind of situations keep building up until you get to what you might call the last straw. You know, it's like, oh, my God, that's just too much. And that's when it turns into shock and can be stored in the body.
And then you move into the state that you say is essentially your heart and thoughts are racing.
Right.
You're,
right.
If you will, frantically searching for solutions. How would the individual... And when you say a lot of people, is it 40% of us have this? Is it almost 100%? And how would you know if they need therapy for this shock?
Right. Well, you know, I would say it's 80 to 90% of people have shock in their lives at one time or another. And then there's about 30 to 40% of people that live in a constant state of shock. So what shock is it's really stress that affects the nervous system. So it's a physiological response in the nervous system. So some people are in sympathetic shock, which is what you think of it as like workaholics. Maybe you feel yourself running around like a chicken with your head cut off, or being on that, you know, that hamster wheel that goes round and around and around and you never really get anywhere, like a franticness, and you make to-do lists and they just keep growing and there's no end to them. So that would be the sympathetic shock that is locked in our nervous system. And what happens with that is then we become so stressed out that we start using food, sweets, carbohydrates, drinks, sugary drinks or alcohol to try to relax. Some people are using marijuana, especially in our state and states where it's legal these days. But, you know, using some kind of a substance to self-medicate. And then what that does is it pushes the nervous system over into the parasympathetic aspect of it, where the person feels exhausted, tired, numb, and they often use the word depressed. They don't realize they're in parasympathetic shock. They just say, I'm depressed. I don't feel like getting out of bed in the morning, or I don't have any energy. I don't feel like doing anything. So then, when they have that feeling, they self-medicate again with stimulants. So they move into, you know, caffeine, smoking, those energy, sugary energy drinks that have tons of caffeine and sugar in them. You know, so in other words, self-medicating to move out of the parasympathetic shock, and then they go back into the sympathetic. So it's just running round and round between these two states of shock in the nervous system. So does that help a little bit?
Yeah, it helps a bit. So if you're in a state that you're using either things that help you calm down or things that help you speed up,
right?
That's a time you probably have experienced shock and need to get some help in its therapy. We frequently cause stress as fight, flight, or freeze. I guess the parasympathetic would be the freeze state, and the fight and flight would be the sympathetic.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, they all require some form of outside help, meaning more help than just knowing about them. Is that right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And yeah, because we keep wanting to correct, you know, but a lot of times we overcorrect, and then that's when a lot of addictions come in. And that's when, like our Trim Life weight release program, where people are just using food unconsciously and trying to stuff down with sweets, especially with carbohydrates. And then a lot of people will go to a doctor at one of those points, and then the doctor prescribes pills, like sleeping pills, because when you're in this, going back and forth in this shock state, you can't sleep at night. And, of course, sleeping aids are one of the highest prescribed drugs. I'm sure you know that in our society. And also antidepressants, SSRIs. Go ahead.
So in the book, you go through what this is. How does the book help people know when they have to get therapy or what therapy they should get?
Right. Well, you know, one of the things is the idea that kind of like when you're on an airplane and they tell you if you have a child that the adult needs to address, you know, put their oxygen mask on before they put the oxygen mask on their child. So we as parents and also we as caregivers need to address our own shock first. And when we know that it's time to do that is when we just can't seem to function very well. When we realize that, you know, we're in these states, we're overusing drugs or alcohol, we're depressed, we're stressed out. This is when we need to take a look at getting therapy, because just getting more antidepressants and more drugs doesn't fix the problem. And actually what it does is it holds the shock in the body. The drugs just kind of set those in like stone. So
when we come back, we're going to talk more with Diane Zimbaroff, co-author of the book Overcoming Shock, Healing the Traumatized Mind and Heart. You can log on to their website, www.wellness-institute.org. We'll be right back.
There's more of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Presented by the Radio MD Network.
Here's Dr. Michael Roizen.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, a passionate show that helps you take control of your health so you can live at the top of your curve till very near the end. This segment we've been talking with, the last segment and this segment, we will be talking with Diane Zimberoff, Zimberoff. Their book of her and her husband David Hartman is called Overcoming Shock, Healing the Traumatized Mind and Heart. And I gave a little bit of an error in the website. It is wellness, www.wellness-institute, not a dash, but a hyphen, institute.org. They have a cell-free number, toll-free number, in case you want to. And the first step is really reading the book to know whether you want to engage in therapy. And then if you want a therapist, they have trained therapists from all over the country. So it's 1-800-326-4418, 1-800-326-4418. The book is a wonderful compilation of the stories of people. And Diane, I want to get into the first responders, because a lot of us caregivers, probably even the therapists, don't think of themselves as first responders. We think of emergency room personnel and firefighters and police as first responders, but many others are first responders. Tell us what you mean by first responders and why first responders have so much more shock.
Well, most people that work either in hospitals, emergency rooms, and therapists and counselors and drug and alcohol workers and even public servants like airline agents, customer service people that are always hearing people's complaints and getting blamed. You know, have you ever yelled at an airline person behind the desk and, you know, it's like not their fault? But anyway, so all of these people every day are dealing with high stress, intense situations. And this shock comes in when they are frantically trying to find solutions. And the other thing is, like, say, for example, all these police shootings that have happened. You know, the police are going from one trauma to another, from a suicide to a shooting to, you know, all these things, day after day, week, month, year, and nobody ever addresses how that affects them. And so when I see these police shootings, I'm like, yeah, that guy was in shock, and he was just reacting from that place. And also, all of our veterans are returned combat vets. So, crisis team.
Well, it shouldn't, this doesn't mean we forgive them because they were in shock. It means that they have to recognize it beforehand, or before they do something crazy and or right. detrimental to society, and get treatment for it. That's the whole goal of overcoming shock, really, right. before it affects other people. Is that,
am I making
a mistake?
No, that's correct. It's not that we're making an excuse for anybody. It's that, again, like the parents.
In fact, therapists are so much on the front line of this. I mean, they hear mm-hmm. these stories, and they must empathize all the time and almost relive some of the shock of their mm-hmm. Patients. How do you, mm-hmm. I mean, that must be a huge problem.
It is. You know, because we hear like sexual abuse and domestic violence and, you know, hour after hour after hour. And I've noticed that a lot of therapists, when I started training therapists, they had as much trauma in their lives as their clients do. And that's why our goal at the Wellness Institute is to treat professionals and counselors, psychologists, so that they can then go back to really help people from a clear place. And so really everybody needs to address their shock and find out how they can get help. And the best way we found to do it is through hypnotherapy. And we use heart-centered hypnotherapy, because all of this stuff is stored subconsciously in the nervous system. You know, the conscious mind can't access the nervous system. So it's kind of like if you have a virus in your computer, you know? You don't see it, but all of a sudden everything crashes. And that's what happens when people don't deal with the shock states and the stress. They get sick. You know, they get cancer, they get all kinds of different illnesses like you've been talking about on your show and like you're an expert in all of this. Well, it's because they could treat the shock first and prevent that with hypnotherapy. And the hypnotherapy works because... Go ahead.
I've got to tell you, I did, for the audience, I did go through a training in this area, as Diane knows, on hypnotherapy, and I can tell you that I was more exhausted after working with a couple of the other hypnotherapists on their shock, if you will. That was a process that totally, I said to the person who was doing the training, is how do hypnotherapists do this, because it is emotionally exhausting. Every patient, whereas when I see a patient for wellness or who has hypertension or high cholesterol or has weight loss issues or weight gain issues, it is no place near as exhausting, or at least hasn't been for me, as in trying to work with them with the hypnotherapy. So what she's saying is I think the therapist must have this in spades every day.
Right. And I wouldn't call it exhausting. I mean, maybe that was your experience, but I would call it intense. You know, it's definitely intense. Because if you just go to a regular counselor and talk about it, talk about your stress or your problems or your weight issues, you're just talking in the 10% of your conscious mind. And, you know, that's like looking at your email, like I was saying, but underneath your computer system, there's a big virus that is affecting all of that. So people need to treat the virus in their system so that they don't get more symptoms. You know, they don't get sick.
Before we run out of time, Diane, we should say that this is a program that is used a lot for people with weight gain issues. It's called Trim Life, and you have specifics. Go ahead and give me 30 seconds on Trim Life before we have to sign off.
Trim Life is not a diet program. It deals with the underlying emotional eating that people do and unconscious eating, so you know, and drinking. And what we do is work with the emotions that trigger off that unconscious eating so that you're eating from a conscious place. And we can eliminate the cravings that people have through hypnosis.
So the place to find out more about this, obviously the Cleveland Clinic Trim Life Program, you can find out with us, but wellness-institute.org.